Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This week, we're in the final of a three-week series about how different life experiences will affect the phase of life that you are in. So I have defined the four phases of life that a woman goes through as childhood, accumulation, survival, and downsizing and legacy. In week one, we talked about how babies added in your 40s will add the accumulation phase to your already existing survival phase of life. And if you ever become a caregiver for someone at any stage of life, that will add their survival stage of life to your phase of life. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how the passing of a loved one will bring about the downsizing and legacy phase of life wherever you are. So 8 years ago today, as I am recording this podcast, my father passed away. And that left my sister and I the task of planning a funeral, selling our family home, and all of the contents inside. And now that it's been 8 years, I've been talking about this quite a bit on the podcast and reflecting on it to help other people get through the same phase of life when you lose a parent. I think it's probably similar when you lose a spouse or a child, but I can't speak to that. So I'm only going to speak about when you lose a parent. And most of us will lose our parents at some point. And so I think this is something that we can discuss. And what happens is it does move you into the downsizing and legacy phase of life. It moves you into legacy first and downsizing later. And I'll give you a little bit of an overview and then I'll dive deeper. So the quantity of items in the family home that you need to downsize will demand that you need to make decisions and make them quickly. And at first, what will happen, or at least what happened for my sister and I, is that you will actually go into accumulation. You will accumulate things out of your parents' home into your home or into a storage unit because you just can't make the decisions as fast as you need to, and you don't want to have any regrets. So I said, I've said this before, I will say it again. I filled a 25-foot U-Haul full of stuff from my dad's house, and I brought it here to an already full decorated house. And at that time in our life, it was before I even started Organize 365, we were in a very stressful time of life. This house was not organized at that time. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't organized. And I basically filled our basement with, you know, my dad's furniture and all of the paperwork, and we needed to clear out the house so we could sell it, but it took a year to settle the estate. So all the files came down. And my parents have really, really good taste in decorating. So my dad had a lot of cool pictures and lamps and funky tables and stuff like that. And literally, I didn't have any pictures in my house, and every lamp could have been bought at the grocery store. So I brought all those kinds of things. And what I found was I upgraded my house. So I put his lamps in our house, and I got rid of the lamps I had. I hung up his pictures, and I got rid of the pictures we had. We put his furniture in the basement. We got rid of everything we had in the basement. So there, it's a downsizing, kind of. It's a trading, really. It's really a trading. You trade your stuff for your parents' stuff. And, you know, I've had a lot of friends in this past month who have lost family members, a lot. It seems to me, I probably noticed it more in May because my father passed away in May, but it seems to me like a lot of people pass away in the month of May. I wonder if there's any statistic to that. When I was 13, my father's father passed away in May, as did two of my great-grandfathers. So when I was 13 and I was in eighth grade, I think I've shared this story with you before. My great-grandfather passed away on a Tuesday, and then my dad's father passed away on a Friday. And then later that month, another great-grandfather passed away. So within 3 weeks, we lost three male family members from each side of my mom and dad's family. And I remember, you know, that was May. That was also a May. And so when I get to May, I think about the men in our family passing away, and they have passed away in May. What happens is you accumulate stuff from your childhood home, stuff that your parents had that you've always wanted to have, stuff that reminds you of your parents, and flat out stuff that's nicer. Like a lot of my friends who have lost family members, their parents' stuff was nicer than their stuff. It was either made higher quality, it was bought at a different time, or they just haven't upgraded from their starter furniture when they very first got their home. So there's a lot of that that happens. There's a lot of trading and accumulating. I do recommend actually getting a storage locker at this time of life. If you don't have the time, if you can afford to buy an offsite storage unit, I do recommend it because it's somewhere that you could put items as you are making the decisions, and it allows you to delay making some of the decisions in this very stressful time. I suggest you give yourself a time limit on how long you keep that storage unit, but it does help you. So once you're through that first year and you've traded out the furniture that you want to trade out and you've sold the home and you've started to live with all of this furniture in your house, what happened for me is that I started to realize that there was too much stuff in my house and it was time to downsize. So I started to downsize my stuff versus my father's stuff. And we were settling the estate. So as different parts of the estate got settled, we were able to shred different paperwork and continue to sell off different items that we had taken. It's also during this second to third, fourth year time frame where you have kept a quantity of items, but you think about, well, what is the legacy? What is the legacy, or what is it that I want to pass on to my kids from the person who has just passed? This was really cool. It was on the 1 year anniversary of my dad's passing that my sister gave me a table runner for our dining room buffet. And my father was a huge golfer. He was a scratch golfer and he belonged to a bunch of country clubs. And he always loved golf from a young age. There was in Akron, Ohio, he was a member of Firestone Country Club. And at Firestone Country Club is where the World Series of Golf is held every year. And at one point he ran all the advertising for years and years and years for the World Series of Golf. He was always one of those people that you see in the crowd that holds up the quiet stick. That's how he started out. And they have this thing called the Pro-Am, where before the World Series of Golf starts, you can play with the professionals. My dad's the amateur and they're the pro. So it's called the Pro-Am. So he would play in that. I think he did it, my sister would know. I don't know as much how many years he did it in a row, but he's played with some pretty famous golfers. So golf was a big, big deal for my dad. His father had belonged to a country club. My dad's first job was caddying at that country club. A lot of the relationships that my dad had in business were from being able to play golf, and he made a lot of deals on the golf course. So he was really, really big into golf. And if you were going to look in his closet, it was work shirts and golf shirts. There were no t-shirts or no, it was all golf shirts. And they all, you know, had emblems. He and his friends would go to Pinehurst every year. And he played golf in Scotland and England. Golf was my dad. It was my dad and golf and cars. He also liked cars. So on his 1 year passing, my sister gave me this table runner for my buffet. And on it was the crest on a golf shirt over on the left-hand side will be the emblem of wherever you bought that golf shirt. Like if you bought it at a country club or if you bought it at the Masters or wherever you got it. And so she had those cut out into like 4-inch squares and had them sewed into a table runner so that there are like 16 of those shirt squares in this table runner. Really, really neat. Similar to what I had made for my mom and her sister, when her mom passed away this December from Once Upon a Time Creation, my grandmother's big thing was that she was a sharp dresser, like to the point I think I told you that we were in her closet, three generations of ladies all picking out clothes that we are actually wearing from her closet as she was 92, like very, very stylish dresser. So I had Once Upon a Time Creation take some of Grandma's clothes and turn them into those lovies and give that to my mom and her sister. So my dad was golf. My husband has a set of my dad's golf clubs and he does use them, but I don't. Like, I know my dad was golf. I'm not a golfer. I like the outfits. Like, I'll buy a cute little golf outfit and I know how to drive a golf cart like nobody's business. And I would like a little Coke in there too. Thank you very much. But chasing a little white ball around a golf course, like, how is that productive? What is the point? And it's hot or it's cold or it's rarely the temperature I want it to be. Golf is not my thing. But that table runner, of those golf shirts reminds me of my dad and that was his thing. Now, I don't have to have all of my dad's golf shirts. I don't have to have all of my dad's golf equipment. I don't have to have anything else except that table runner. And that is enough for me to remember that huge part of my dad's life, that golf part of my dad's life. That is what happens in years 2 to 4 of looking back over your family's, your loved ones who has passed lifetime. What is it that really made them come alive? What was their passion project? And how can you somehow assimilate that into yours? The other thing I did, I know I've mentioned this in another podcast, I'll link to this one, is that when my father passed away, I had gotten a little shadow box and it had, I don't know, 40 different slots in it, different size slots. And I put that in our family basement as my sister and I were going through the family home. And every time I found something small that reminded me of my dad, I would put it in that shadow box. And that shadow box is hanging in our basement. Now, 8 years ago, that basement literally was a recreation of my house growing up on Timberline. You could walk into the basement and you felt like you were walking into the 1980s in Akron, Ohio. Like it was all the paintings, all the furniture, everything. Everything was out of my childhood home. And I knew at the time that eventually I would sell that furniture, but I would always keep this little shadow box, probably for the rest of my life. Now, 8 years later, I could tell you we have sold or donated probably 60 to 75% of what I put down there in the basement. We still have a table and a couple of chairs, but everything else has been sold or gone because it doesn't fit our lifestyle. It doesn't fit where we are. And my dad isn't in a couch anyway. Like the couch was 40 years old. It was time for it to go. But that shadow box that I have still has the golf cart key of the little golf cart we had at our house because he was such an avid golf person. We had a golf cart at our house and my mom used it for her passion project, which was flowers. And all these other little teeny tiny things like I have in there, his aftershave, which was English leather. And every once in a while, like I've done it maybe 3 times total, and I might do it after this podcast. I'll go down, I'll open up, and I'll smell it. And oh, my dad smells like English leather. You know what your family members smell like. And so that shadow box and this little table runner, at the end of the day, are probably a few of the only things that I will have from my childhood home 30 or 40 years from now. I have a little bit more still now, but in the future. It's that legacy thing. How are you going to take the essence of the person who passed and put it in a meaningful way so that when you walk by that table runner, you think, man, Dad was a great golfer and he really loved it. And my husband is too. And that's something they have in common and I really can enjoy. But I don't have to become a great golfer. I don't have to have all of his golf clothes. I don't have to try to figure out where I'm going to put a golf cart in our tiny little suburban home. So that is the legacy part. And then in year 5+, what I have noticed is I downsize like crazy. I'm 45, so I'm not in the downsizing and legacy phase, but I really want to get rid of everything that's in this house. I'm like, what is the point? Why do we have this stuff? We don't need this stuff. And really, the thought is, I'm not using it now. I might use it in the future. I don't know if I'll use it in the future. I probably won't, but I have the space to store it and I can afford it and we already paid for it. So there's really no need for me to get rid of it. However, I know, and this is the mindset you have after you lose a parent and you've done this, you've been the one that has to do this. The mindset that you have is, somebody's going to have to get rid of this someday. Either I'm going to decide to get rid of it now and buy it again if I need it later, or I'm going to store it now and then have to make the decision later to get rid of the same thing I already knew I needed to get rid of. Or someone after me is going to have to make the decision and they aren't going to know that I was going to get rid of it anyway because I'm not there to tell them. So there are 2 items in my house that are falling in this category for me that are really hard for me to let go of, but I will probably not use them. One is my water for China and the other one is rubber stamps. So let's start with the water for China. I'm not getting rid of it. Don't worry, Mom. Mom listens to the podcast. I'm keeping it. I've really been struggling lately with, you know, millennials today are not registering for China in Waterford like I did. And I have 2 different sets of China, thank you. And like you don't think my mom has China and my grandma had China and there's plenty of China and all of that to go around and sink a ship and I don't use it. I don't use it. So at Christmas, I got the family to come over for Christmas dinner. I used all of my china. I pulled it all out with the good silver and everything. We still didn't pull out the Waterford. The Waterford, It's a crystal that was made in England. It just doesn't get pulled out. You know why? The wine glasses are too small. So you end up using the water glasses for wine glasses, and they're still too small because look at how big the wine glasses are we use today. The $5 a piece wine glasses that you can get at Target, you know, they'll hold a really nice big glass of wine. If you're going to drink that out of an old-fashioned English Waterford wine, it's going to look like you had three glasses of wine when you have one glass of a Target wine. So would you like more wine? Would you like more wine? That's probably why they had these people walking around going at parties going, would you like some more wine? Because the cups were the size of a thimble. They're just too small. They're heavy. They're breakable. They're expensive. What if you break it? It's expensive. Well, we don't use it. Who cares if you break it? Is where I am. So I go in people's homes and they're having the same issues. Do we sell it? Do we give it away? What do we do? Because we professionally organize people in Cincinnati, and in almost every house, they're looking to me what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I kept mine. Nope, I don't use it either. So I was thinking yesterday, I was like, why am I keeping this? What am I going to do with this water for crystal? And I got a great idea. So I have a 16-year-old daughter, and my aunt will take those little tiny candles that are in a silver tea lights. I think they're tea lights, but not the ones that are not in a little silver casing, like the ones that come in a little silver. It's an aluminum thing so that the wax stays in the aluminum and doesn't go wherever. Like you can get tea lights that don't have that aluminum under it and float it in water, or you could get them with the tea lights. I don't know the logistics of this yet, but when I go to her house in the holidays, she'll put one of those tea lights in a Waterford glass in the bathroom, and then there is a bunch of sparkles in the bathroom, and there's just this little candle burning, but it gives off the sparkles of the glass. And I thought, ooh, you know what? We have enough Waterford here and can borrow from family members. Then when Abby gets married someday, we could have Waterford on the table with those little tea lights, and it would sparkle the whole room, or maybe at a shower or something like that. Like, there is a time when maybe I would use this Waterford that is A, already paid for, and B, I do have places to store it. Like, it is beautifully displayed in my great-grandmother's desk with the bubble glass on top. Like, everything about where it's stored and what's in there is meaningful to me. I don't know if it'll be meaningful to my kids, but currently it is meaningful to me. So I am going to save it. The other thing that I realize I don't use and probably will never use are my rubber stamps. So my mother is an artist. She has an amazing eye for detail. And she hand makes cards. And I handmade cards too, because I'm a crafty person, but I do it more from a production line. You know, we're going to build the Model T Ford, so let's make an assembly line. I'm going to make Christmas cards today. So we're going to make 150 Christmas cards, and I'm going to stamp them all. Then I'm going to emboss them all. And then I'm going to fold them all. Like, I do it like it's a big assembly line production. My mom does it like it is a work of art. And Pat too. Pat is also someone who makes cards and has this gift of just making these little masterpieces in cards. And I love to receive cards like this because I like acts of service is one of my love languages. So a handmade card shows me that, like, you took your gift and this is how you gift the world in this handmade card. Not everybody appreciates handmade gifts or homemade gifts, but I really do. I really like handmade gifts. So growing up, my mom had this gift and she had like a lot of supplies. So if dad had a lot of golf supplies, my mom had a lot of craft supplies. And I know I've told you before about how I would organize her craft room. Well, my grandfather, who passed away a couple years ago at 101, was he 101? 103? I don't know, over 100. He's the one that made the cradle for me, the nativity manger for baby Jesus that I have in the front hall. He made that manger. I asked him to make that because he's an engineer and he can work with his hands. He does these great things with wood. Another thing that he made, and I have one of them, and maybe my cousins would like it. So whoever's listening to the podcast, tell me. It is these, they are shelves. I'll put a picture in the podcast. It goes on the wall like a picture, but there are all these little shelves and you put all your rubber stamps on these shelves. It's a rubber stamp tray thing made by an engineer. So it's amazingly well built. And my mom had these in her craft room and she lined her old craft room. I think grandpa made her maybe six of them. Maybe she had four or six of them, and she could stack up all of her rubber stamps. So you could see them in her craft room, and she would pull down what she needed, and she had them inventoried by season and all of that. So when he was making them for her, I was the oldest grandchild. So yes, please. Thank you for Christmas. I would like one. So I got a rubber stamp thing. And when I first was married, I did a lot of rubber stamping. I made baby shower invitations, and I made the kids' birthday card invitations, and I handmade all of those Christmas cards for probably 10 years. I handmade Christmas cards, 150 of them, and mailed them out. No, I haven't mailed Christmas cards in the last 10 years. You're not off the list. I just haven't mailed them. So I have these rubber stamps. I have this awesome thing my grandpa made, and I have not done any rubber stamping in the last 8 years. And even when the kids go away and I have time to do something, am I going to go back to rubber stamping? And I've come to the realization this month that I'm not. Like, it doesn't really do it for me. And I don't really want to make that much time to make a card. If I have that kind of time, I want to work on a jigsaw puzzle. And that is something that I don't do as frequently, but I do still make time to do it a couple of times a year, which tells me that it's still one of my passions. I will probably always do jigsaw puzzles. But the thought of making a card, like even right now, it does not excite me at all. Like, that, I have totally lost passion for that. So this summer, I'm going to go through and see if Abby wants to do that. I don't think she does, but if she does, and then see which of these stamps my mom might not have in her collection. We have a lot that overlap. And then see which of my family members would want to take on this this passion and have Grandpa's shelf. Because that would be a great thing for them. Grandpa has passed. Grandma has passed. I'm sure somebody in the family would like that new grandpa. So that is the kind of decisions that once you lose your parent and you've cleaned out your family home, you make yourself make those decisions. I walk around the house and I go, Lisa, really? Why do we have this gigantic rubber stamp collection and everything that goes with it? I've been paring it down over time. I don't have everything that goes with it, but I have all my embossing powders and I have all my little inks. And then I, of course, because assembly line, you have to have this. There's this holder when you do embossing. So if you get a handmade card from someone and the ink is raised, that's called embossing. So they stamped the, I don't know how to explain it. They stamped the stamp and then they poured a powder on there and then they put this card underneath this little heat gun, like a focused hair dryer that made that those two fuse together and make a raised image. Well, because I was doing it in assembly line fashion, I actually have from a craft fair a little wooden stand that I could put my heat gun in, so I don't even have to hold my heat gun when I do stamping, and I just slide the cards underneath and make that gel and then do the next one and the next one and the next one. I have some cool stuff with my stamping that I'm sure my aunt or my cousins would enjoy that I will pass on. But when you have the space and you have all of the stuff and you used to have the passion and you could do it in the future, why would I get rid of that? Like, why would I get rid of those things? And the only reason I would get rid of those things at this point is because I now know I'm never going to go back to that time of my life. It could bless somebody else in my family. And the legacy of that wall hanging that my grandfather made to put the little stamps on, someone in my family would really, really like to use. And I would rather pass that on right now to somebody else in my family who would love to have that in their home now that all my cousins have homes, then to hold on to it because it's mine and because I can and because I have space, that someday when we either move or I pass away, somebody else has to decide what to do with this conglomeration of 1980 stamps and whatever the heck this wall hanging thing is. Nobody will even know what it is. Okay, so that is what happens and how the death of a parent affects your stage of life. It actually throws you into all three stages at once, to be honest. At first, you're in survival because you have to plan a funeral just so fast. And then you accumulate everything from their house into your house, or you sell it or whatever you do. And then you really move into, how is this a legacy item? How is this something that we could pass on to the next generation? Or I can make it into something smaller and more meaningful that I can look at for the rest of my life that will remind me of that person. And then ultimately, you will finish purging and downsizing not only the family home of the loved one from your home, but you will also start to look at your own items differently, because if it's no longer a passion for you, even if you do have the space to hold on to it, should you? Because someday, somebody is going to have to get rid of it for you. All right, you guys, have a great week.